Welcome to the Play It By Ear podcast. The podcast where the topics may vary because, hey, we play it by ear. And now your hosts, Eric Fiscus, Brady Liming, and Todd Griffin.
We have a Piper down.
Piper Dane.
Piper Dane. Is Dane. According to our intro, it is Eric Fiscus, Brady Liming, and Todd Griffin. Todd is under the weather. Allergies. Not anything else. Allergies.
He does not have the ick. He does not have the Rona.
No.
He does just not, has no voice.
Does not have the epizootic. It's
or the croup.
The croup. That was a my mom always that was my mom's catch-all. You must have the croup. Everything was the croup.
Yeah, I mean the croup went from anything from pink eye to explosive diarrhea. The croup was kind of like a catch-all. So now the croup is really a thing. I guess it's a coughing disease, but I always just assumed the croup was much like the word epizootic, which it was just like a, you know, generic illness.
I mean, my mom used the word croup so much for so many things. I don't even really know what the croup is, but
yeah,
maybe someone can help us out with that. Welcome all. Please sign in, as they used to say on the old game show. What game show was that? What's My Line? Please sign in.
Please sign in.
Please stand up.
So that's almost even before my time. But anywho, welcome to all. We have 18 in the room, it looks like.
Wow. So,
welcome to all of you. We'll get the housekeeping out of the way. Find us on audio, anchor.fm/playbyyearpodcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and the iHeartRadio app, and most anywhere you can find your podcast, most any provider. On video, we are on YouTube. We have a channel. Search us out, Play It By Ear Podcast. Some of you may be watching us on YouTube as we speak, as we are broadcasting out to YouTube and Facebook and our other social media spot, Twitter, at Play It By Ear Pod 2. We're also on Instagram at Play It By Ear Podcast with underscores between all the words. We're also on Twitch. I haven't changed that yet, but we do have a Twitch. If you're young and hip and you're a video gamer and you're into that, you can go to Twitch and you can watch us there.
On the other end, we're not on LinkedIn yet.
No, we're not. We're not looking for a job. But anywho, interact with us, Play By Your Podcast 2020 at gmail.com. Leave a voice message. You can do that by clicking a link at your provider. Hat in hand, if you want to support financially what we do, you can go to anchor.fm/playbyyearpodcast/support. Not that we're looking to get rich, but we do have some different expenses in regard to doing what we do here. So please, if you enjoy what we do, help us out with it. We certainly appreciate all of you being here anyway.
And we love hearing the comments. So many kind comments. And it's finally happened. I was wondering how long my professional life and my podcast life, how long they would stay separate when randomly at the, I'm a teacher of fifth grade Utes, and I was leaving class and getting ready to go to the next one. When one of them asked me, he's like, "Are you still afraid of little people?" And I'm like, "Oh, somebody's been listening.
Somebody found me."
Yes.
Well, that's good. We're branching out into the younger set, right? Is that what's what that means? Good evening to Josh Michael. He is with us. Now we have 22 in the room. So again, if you're here, check in. We would love to recognize you.
I recognize you.
So here's the plan of events. We will each do a topic in our two-man format here. And our third topic will be kind of a grab bag topic. It's a mystery topic. It is a to-be-announced topic.
We will be playing it by ear.
Yes, we will indeed be playing it by ear. So Brady,
you're
first on the screen here. So by all means, take it away.
Okay, let's keep this light, airy, and funny. Hopefully, airy. This is a topic that I've been kind of dwelling on for a while, and it keeps on coming up. So finally, we're going to put it out to the masses. And I would like to say that things that I saw in my childhood, I expected. Okay, let me back up. What did you expect, or what did not make sense when you watch cartoons? There were some things that we just accept when we watch cartoons, and we accepted it as utes. And now that we get older, and even maybe back when we were utes, it doesn't quite make sense. Nobody ever questioned it. We just accepted it as canon in the cartoon universe. So, and there are some things that, to quote Johnny Cochran on South Park, it's the Chewbacca defense. Don't make sense. And so I would like to start off with one. It's kind of an easy thing. And it is, why in the heck in cartoons does nothing have five digits?
I put the topic up down there because you kind of started into your little rant before we
monologue.
Yes, your monologue. So these are cartoon things that make no sense, correct?
Correct. Kind of,
yeah.
So, you know, have you ever noticed, whether it be the Flintstones or Bugs Bunny or Tom and Jerry, why does nothing, whether beast or fowl or human, nothing has five digits? They always stop at four. And I really don't have an answer to that. I have a theory that maybe the cartoonist, it was just too difficult to make five digits quickly. But it gets downright distracting sometimes. I mean, you know, Tom always looks like he has white gloves on anyway, and they're always four-fingered. He doesn't, you know, not even a Dewclaw. He just has four digits.
Well, now, in the case of Tom, I mean, cats, I mean, do they have five individual
phalanges?
Phalanges.
Yeah. A feline Angie? but yeah, they actually do. And I think the biggest offender was like the Jetsons and the Flintstones and things that were people, but not really. And
so the Flintstones, they were cavemen.
Correct.
So could you explain that technically by maybe they had not evolved yet? But the Jetsons, they were supposed to be futuristic. I mean, they were flying around and flying cars and things.
Maybe in thousands of years, they lost their need for a fifth digit. Like,
could be.
If we continue on, you know, humans, we're going to have tiny little digits and huge Mongo thumbs. Because that's what we use nowadays.
So in regard to the Jetsons, now I'm going to ask another question about that. Was there ever an episode of the Jetsons where you saw the ground?
Good Lord, dude. I think you just blew my mind. I don't think so.
Because they were always flying around. Their houses, their apartments were like way up.
Yeah.
So was there like a nuclear apocalypse there that they had to build everything up in the air and they could not get down onto the earth?
I don't know, Rorge. Sorry, that was a bad Astro.
That was a horrible Astro.
But I never thought about that. My gosh. And how many children fell to their death? Because, you know, they had those sidewalks. Well, I guess they did have jetpacks, didn't they?
They did.
All right.
All right, so Mrs. Wilson there used to watch H.R. Puff and stuff, which I do believe was the end result of much acid usage.
I was going to say, I had a contact buzz after I watched H.R. Puff and stuff.
It was so you wouldn't think this was reality. Okay. That was her answer to our question about
the acid. Great. And that's why we love Miss Wilson, and she was the most awesome teacher. I credit her with... actually, I have to credit her a little bit with what you're seeing now. She fostered this sense of humor.
Are you sure you want to do that?
That's like,
did she want to take credit for that?
Yeah, I don't want her to go on trial in The Hague for international crimes on ears, but I just like seeing The Hague. But some more cartoon buffoonery.
I have one.
Go for it, man.
Tom and Jerry.
Yes.
So Tom and Jerry were without clothing most of the time, unless they went to the beach. Then they were wearing swimsuits.
That is true. And I don't know why. I don't mean to be crass here. I don't know why they had no external genitalia in their drawing anyway. I mean, I kind of think about the time that the bulldog just teed up on Tom right where his catsticles would be. And there was nothing there. they were pretty gender ambiguous, but there was nothing drawn, but yet they still wore beach clothing, correct? Or better yet, when Tom would get his fur ripped off by the bulldog, it looked like he had like
human skin.
Or long johns on, or sometimes boxers.
True. All right. So there's an answer to our question. And it's not only a speculative answer, it is an answer from a reliable source. Okay. Disney animators Dan Povenmire and Jeff Swampy Marsh, the animators who bring you the new Disney TV show Milo Murphy's Law. The reason why is pretty simple. Drawing hands is the hardest part of the body to draw. Drawing three fingers and a thumb speeds up the creative process.
I was always joking when I kind of said like it was the cartoonists were lazy, but that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
So thank you, Kyle.
Kyle also says when fur is wet is more revealing. Fairly good answer there as well.
Yeah, dude, he's on our wavelength with this.
He's on fire. He's en fuego. Go ahead.
En fuego. One thing I would like to address is being an adult and having a credit limit. How on earth did Wile E. Coyote have an unlimited credit and no income and be able to order all that sweet stuff from Acme? Whether it be missiles, Batman outfits.
Are you sure he didn't have an income? Because he was a coyote.
And he... Unless you're a state senator from Georgia. And
I guess.
Yeah.
That was bad. Sorry. Go ahead.
I genuinely laughed when I read that, by the way. But that's not even political. That's just funny.
My turn?
Yes.
Okay. Back to Disney, since Kyle brought up Disney. Goofy and Pluto. Both are dogs, but Goofy owns Pluto.
Gosh, does he own him? I thought Pluto was Mickey's dog.
That's the way I always took it.
Huh.
So a few answers back to the Wile E. Coyote question. Miss Wilson says product placement. That's Kyle, funny. Again, en fuego. He was a prototype tester. That's why everything fails.
Dude, Kyle... he is definitely on our wavelength tonight. He is definitely getting it.
Kelly says Wile E must be on a do not fly list.
True.
Probably true. So.
But
go ahead. I'm going to put some more.
Well, going back to Wile E, this just dawned on me, and this is also going to apply to the Smurfs here in a moment. If he had all this money and unlimited credit, why didn't he just get some takeout from KFC, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he could buy a bucket for much less than probably that nuclear rocket that he was steering. Or the, instead of getting levers and large boulders, he could just take some of that sweet coyote money and get some drive-through.
Okay. Steve Petrovich, nice to see you. Steve, there. It has been a while. You said that earlier up there in the comments. Welcome. He's working with George Washing Cheap. Yes.
Morning, Stan.
My friend George. Okay. Oh, now yeah. Kyle says Goofy is a cow. I don't think Goofy's a cow. Goofy's a dog.
Clarabelle is a cow.
Clarabelle is a cow. Howard Williams says one is purebred, the other's a mutt. So Goofy doesn't look very purebred to me, but.
Sorry, I had to squeeze that in. But yeah, Goofy was Ralph Furley. He was the animated Ralph Furley from Three's Company. He was Don Knotts, the animated Don Knotts, sort of.
Indeed.
Speaking of I'm looking for a word. I want to say species dysmorphia. My child likes Peppa Pig, the cartoon, and there is a weird species. I'm going to call it species dysmorphia. I don't know if that's even a real thing, but it sounds good. But it's kind of like the Pluto Goofy thing. But you know, Peppa is a live action talking pig, and her friend Susie Sheep is a live action talking sheep. And then there's Pedro Pony, and there's Dr. Hamster, and there are all these animals with human qualities, except Dr. Hamster is a veterinarian, and the goldfish and the tortoise are animals, and they have no human qualities. So the pig and the sheep have a class pet of a lizard and a tortoise and a goldfish. So what the heck?
Good question.
And are you ready for the big mind warp? When Mrs. Rabbit gets awarded, gets recognized, she's going to be recognized by the queen for all her hard work and entrepreneurship. The queen is actually Queen Elizabeth. She's not an animal.
Interesting.
It is. So.
Okay. So now our listeners, viewers are stuck on this goofy Pluto thing. Okay, so now Howard said one was purebred, the other was a mutt. He says Goofy is the mutt now.
That's true. Pluto looks like a hound dog.
Well, Bill says Pluto is Mickey Mouse's pet, which I believe in some of the cartoons, he was indeed Mickey Mouse's pet.
Yes.
Of course, that opens up another line of thinking. How can a mouse own a dog? A mouse own a dog? I mean, that in and of itself is...
That's crazy now, talk.
Now Cookie says Goofy is, in fact, a cow per Disney.
If that is indeed true, I am today years old. I have always assumed Goofy is a dog. He doesn't look like a cow.
But if you look at the animation and drawing of Goofy in Pluto, they're very similar. Other than Goofy's overbite. But the snout looks the same. The only thing, even the ears look the same.
Well, true. And not only that, but Goofy's overbite does look like incisors and not molars, which would imply that he's canine.
Indeed. So I call foul on Disney. I don't care if they're the ones who have marketed Goofy canine. Or not. Canine, yes. That is balderdash.
Yep. Eric, do you have anything to add? Because I got another one coming your way.
Go for it.
This is a little bit darker, but grew up loving G.I. Joe, the toy and the cartoon. Man, there was some heavy-duty weaponry, some serious high-tech stuff, and zero casualties. I mean, they would blow the heck out of everything the Cobra had and vice versa, and everybody would just pop out with a parachute, and, you know, they would just like, I'll get you again, G.I. Joe, you know, and they would just be fine, but there was never any casualties.
Well, and you could say that about the A-Team, the Dukes of Hazzard,
Super Friends.
Yeah, Super Friends, yeah, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a much tamer time when it came to casualties and blood and gore and all that. Okay, so now we have, again, we're stuck on Goofy and Pluto. Per Wiki at Walt Disney Animation Studios, Goofy is a tall, anthropomorphic dog. So we have clashing
wiki sources
here. I don't know where to go with this. I'm flummoxed. I am permused. I don't know. All right. Would you like me to put one in on here?
Throw it down.
If you want to talk Wile E. Coyote, if you want to talk Tom and Jerry, any number of cartoons, gravity only becomes effective when you look down. So yeah. You fall off a cliff, you fall off any high place, and you suspend in midair, and you only fall when you look down.
One of the greatest Bugs Bunny quotes of all time. This defies the laws of gravity. Fortunately, I never studied law.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. That always builds the tension. Like, do you think the first time that happened, the first time that that was ever depicted on animation and people saw for the first time, do you think they were sitting by like, oh, he doesn't realize he's going to fall? And, you know, do you think that happened back then? It's like, oh, I can't believe that. He's floated midair. He ain't falling.
Could be.
Now it just becomes default comedy. You know what's going to happen, you know?
Correct. So SpongeBob SquarePants. And a lot of people like SpongeBob. SpongeBob, I believe, works in a diner. Correct.
Uh-huh.
SpongeBob. SpongeBob, part of his job is washing dishes.
He's also Slinger the Hash.
Okay. Why would one need to wash dishes when you are in fact, a watery atmosphere or environment?
I can answer that. Have you ever had to pre-wash your dishes before you put, like, if you've been eating chili under the sea, I think there's still going to be crust.
Well, but the crust only happens because there is no moisture to alleviate the crust.
That's true.
If you are in fact,
20 minutes gone already?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we can extend this. It's fine, but
it just feels like 5 minutes.
This hash slinging slasher.
Yes. Well, I always thought that, you know, SpongeBob would get a dressing up and a, you know, prime time where he would become Sponge Robert Square Slacks, you know, for formality.
Is that when he's wearing like a tuxedo?
Yes.
Indeed. Anything else on this cartoon topic?
Oh, let's see. I guess my last little thing I could throw down is like, why did Shaggy put up with it? Here, we're going to be searching for this dangerous, possibly psychotic killer. Fred, hey, I'm Fred. I'm going to take the two chicks. Shaggy, you hang out with the cowardly dog. Shaggy was bigger than Fred. Why didn't Shaggy say, like, hey, my doobitch is kicking in. I'm going to go with the girls this time. You go with the cowardly dog.
But did Shaggy ever show any interest in that? I know he didn't want to be around the ghosts and monsters and things, but did he ever show any interest in accompanying the girls rather than Scoob?
I think it was blackmail because Fred said, if you don't let me go with the girls, I'm going to call the DEA on your stash that you have in the mystery machine.
Miss Wilson says Scooby snacks. I wonder what was in the Scooby snacks. That is scary.
Cheryl, wait a minute. Send him down. Bring him to me. Huddy Thomas. Huddy.
Now, I've got to read this for the benefit of our audio listeners. Cheryl Broughton says, scariest cartoon of my childhood was when Tom got squished by the piano and rode the escalator up to heaven. And as I recall, were there not 9 ghosts or souls that came out of Tom when the
piano switched? That's a different one.
Is that a different one?
Yeah, where like it scared him so bad that all 9 of them were trailing behind him. Which leads me to another thing about cartoons. Why is it when we get scared or terrified that we don't start at the top and go white all the way down? How awesome would that be if you scared your friends and family and watched them just go whoop?
I watched them just white. Blanch.
That'd be great.
Jim says Shaggy's buzz never wore off, which probably could be. And Todd, our co-host, chimes in. Shaggy was taller than Fred. He was also scrawny and stoned, so Fred would have taken him down in seconds, which
are, if Fred raised a hand to Shaggy, Scooby would probably go all rabid on him. You know how protective dogs are.
Oh, yes. Cheryl adds the end of that cartoon. He had to get Jerry to sign the contract of forgiveness, which
Cheryl, this is true facts. I had a student named Thomas last year, And whenever he was moving slowly in line, I would always go, "Hoodie Thomas, hoodie." And I would crack myself up and nobody else would know why it was funny. But I would totally do that. Thank you, Eric. But I still do it. I still do it when he's like, "Hoodie Thomas, hoodie." Oh, man.
So Howard says Shaggy put up with it because he was a wishing and a hoping and a praying he could finally make out with Velma. Yeah, well, I could be.
Hey, Velma, did you lose your glasses?
Todd misspelled a word here in his response. So I thought Shaggy was a woman for most of my youth. I think you put an extra letter on. Did you say youth?
My biggest thing about Shaggy, I didn't realize that that goatee was actually a goatee. I thought he had like a growth, like because it's flesh colored. I thought he had like a little tumor on his chin,
like a big skin tag on his chin.
A tumor.
Yeah, it's not a tumor. Howard says, "Why don't we turn yellow to show our cowardice?"
And at least that yellow stripe down your back. Yeah, like they did in the cartoons when somebody would get. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very absolutely. True.
All right. Very, very good topic to start us out here.
Yes.
All right. So I guess it's on to me. And I've got to type out my little banner here before I put it on.
So while Eric is typing, if you have any cartoon questions, like why does the cartoon universe make sense, please send us your suggestions. This was a lot of fun.
It was very fun.
I didn't even get to like Gargamel wanting to eat Smurfs.
Well, you know, what are Smurfs? I mean, maybe they were tasty. I mean, the Smurf ice cream at King's Island's tasty.
Maybe. Ew, no, it's not. I still taste that in my mouth. Ah.
It's just ice cream with coloring.
No, it was raspberry flavored. It was a blue raspberry flavor, and it was real heavy. Like, it was a very creamy ice cream. And when it's 98 degrees and you've been going upside down and to and fro,
I'm a picky eater, but you are just.
Oh, no, it was delicious at the time. It wasn't picky. It just made me want to vomit afterwards, and I just never got that taste out of my mouth. It was horrible. Ugh, I don't like blue stuff to this day. Well, like, why do you think
don't like blue stuff? You don't like any sauces? I mean, you don't.
No. I like sauces. I just don't like white stuff. But that's why we would call the blue Kool-Aid, and that's why I still call blue Gatorade. I don't love it because it's Smurfy.
Wah, wah, wah. You still taste it in your mouth as opposed to tasting it in your ear. Todd's here in spirit.
He is.
And in writing.
And he was concerned about his beloved audience because he was coughing and he's like, he just didn't want to sound unpleasant. And I'm sure he still has his golden pipes. He's being hard on himself, but we do wish him a speedy recovery.
Indeed.
From his mucus-addled self.
And there's another question. We can't get away from this cartoon thing. Why was there only one girl Smurf, according to Jim? And I, you know, that's a whole other avenue of conversation here. I'm not sure we want to go.
Yeah, I mean, road. If yeah. I'm thinking right, like Papa Smurf created her. I mean, if Papa Smurf was really smooth, he would have created about 10 of her. But.
And was Papa the father of all those Smurfs?
We better get off this one quickly because this might spiral.
Kicking and screaming away from this cartoon.
Yeah. Jane, get me off this crazy thing.
Called love.
Thank you, Cheryl. I totally agree.
Cheryl says, the more you ate, the thirstier you got, according to the blue ice cream. And Sarah says our local ice cream place had it this summer. And I guess that's over in Bethel. I think it's where Sarah lives. Chad says he doesn't like green stuff except money. I concur. And Chad also loved the Smurf cereal, which
I could still sing it. Eric, can you sing it? 1, 2, 3, 4. Smurf, Berry crunch is fun to eat. A breakfast treat made by Smurf so happily. It tastes like crunchy Smurf berries. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Anywho, topic two. So we were discussing very briefly, as we always do when we determine what topics we're going to do on our show. And I had been reading some things, and I came across this Ask Reddit, which is kind of a repository of different musings that people have on this message board. And the one I found was outdated customs that we still follow. And I was intrigued by that. And Brady was intrigued by that also. As always, we invite all of you to chime in as well with your outdated customs that we still follow. So, Brady, you brought up one right away when we were talking. And I'll let you bring it up. And I will say I concur with it before you say it. But go ahead.
Okay. Now, see, I'm even almost hesitant to say this because it makes me sound like a rude anus. But removing one's hat indoors because it's impolite. I'm not sure why we just accept it. But I think it's much more impolite to expose everybody to my poorly kept hair in the morning. Or expose them to the hat head. But now I'm not saying, trust me, I get it during the pledge, the national anthem, but even then, you know, some religious faiths, it symbolizes that, you know, God is above you. And, I wonder how it came to mean rudeness, like wearing a hat indoors. I'm sure that there is probably a reason. There is probably an origin to this, but I don't get it anymore.
Is that where all men wore fedoras and things? Is that where all that came from?
Yeah. I mean, if it's back in the 40s where all men wore fedoras, if I'm rocking a sweet fedora, I don't want to take it off, you know, because that's pretty sweet, you know?
Indeed.
And plus, I'd have fedora head.
So, yes, I will concur with that one, although that one seems to kind of hang around because you don't really... In most settings, as far as I could tell, I'm thinking just randomly. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you see a lot of people wearing hats inside? I mean, save going to the mall or something like that. I mean,
I am currently, but
you are.
But that's, you know, I also, you know, I didn't have bad head. I was coiffed today, but honestly, the light from where I record this, this kind of keeps the glare out of my eyes. It has practical purpose. And, but still, you know, like, I don't think, okay, true story. I got called out, at a college class that was at the instructor's house. We had to do that because, I don't even remember why. Mind you, I'm over 30 years old. And I was going to be going to a Reds game afterwards, so I had my Reds hat on. She called me out in front of 9 people and told me it was rude to take off my hat.
It was rude to take off your hat, or she said, that's rude.
While I was in her home, I was to take off
your hat.
And this lady was not aged. I would say she was probably, you know, 10 to 15 years older than me. But I was just taken aback, and even my classmates were like, what the heck? Now, what was even funnier was she showed up to class 2 weeks later wearing a gigantic red hat because she was part of some red hat library club. And I'm like, what the heck?
Did you call her out?
I didn't, because I know technically a lady does not remove her hat inside, but still I'm kind of like, this is the 2000s, you know, it was like, and you know, me and my adherence to manners, I pride myself on my mannerliness, but she was a jerk.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Okay, some from our viewers here. Calling dads a babysitter, I guess, is a outdated custom. Okay, I'll give you that.
Yes.
Chad says we were never allowed to sing at the dinner table, which I don't know how much singing I've done at the dinner table, but
I would like some pork chops, please.
Nor would my grandma ever allow us to come to the dinner table with a hat on.
Yeah.
Okay. Howard says the hat indoors may have originated due to the smaller size door frames you took the hat off as you entered to keep from knocking them off. But that's a matter of practicality. No, but to me, it's kind of seen as Brady said, kind of rudeness. I don't know if it's.
Did people used to carry like firearms or weaponry in their hats? And it was like you had to take your hat off to make sure that you weren't like packing.
Well, I mean, Abe Lincoln carried any number of things in his hat. Miss Wilson says it's a double standard, which indeed it is a double standard. Andrea Kaiser says, hey, Brady.
Hey.
All right. Here's one. Asking a woman's father for permission to marry his daughter. Now, I will admit, I married my wife, Becky. I did ask her father for permission, even though I was 30, whatever I was, and she was 30, whatever she was. I mean, we were well beyond the years of young adulthood. I mean, but I still asked, you know, I guess it's
custom.
Custom. So, I believe where that came from, if I'm not mistaken, it had to do with the dowry.
Exactly. And to make sure that, you know, you weren't a shiftless loser.
Right. So, we're far beyond dowries, I think.
Man.
So, what else? Do you have another one? Because I have a few, but if you have another one, go ahead. Or
go ahead. Eric, do another one because I'm like drawing a small blank. I have one earlier. It'll come back to me.
Daylight savings time. Now, daylight savings time, every time the time changes, well, now the next time, obviously, it'll change is March when we spring forward. And we just fell back here a few weeks ago. And it seems like every time one of those two things happens, people are debating the need for daylight savings time. So the custom originated. Now, actually, people would think it originated with farmers needing more daylight.
That's what However, I always heard.
It actually originated in the mid-70s when we were in our energy crisis because they felt if you put more daylight in times where people were awake, therefore they would not use the electricity in their house. So I don't know how long something has to go to be a custom, but I mean, that's a relatively recent one, I guess.
I think our lifetimes, we will see it eliminated. And here's the thing. It's kind of hypocritical of me, but I don't like necessarily the idea of it, but I do like it in the fall, man. It's like winning the lottery, that extra hour sleep. Me having the job that I do, that extra hour sleep in the morning is pretty awesome.
When you lose that hour sleep, it's awful.
Oh, in the springtime, it's just like getting hit in the face with a mallet, you know? It's like, it always feels so much worse. But, you know, it really doesn't bother me too much. Although I will say this year, it seems to be bothering me more, not the waking up part, but like I'm finding myself very exhausted at about 6:30 at night. So I don't know. It just seems to be affecting me a little bit more this year that way.
Okay. Did you come up with the one you had forgotten?
No, I have another one. Man. Carry on.
Okay. Shaking hands. Now, in our current pandemic situation, this is a custom that may be devalued or maybe has already been devalued. However, shaking hands still, and I don't know if you're the same way as I am, and audience, you can chime in as well. When you meet someone or talk to someone nowadays, do you kind of have that strange little thing in your mind? Do I shake hands? Do I not shake hands? You wait for the other guy to put his hand out. And then if he puts his hand out, I mean, you're kind of committed at that point.
Then you just kind of fist bump if you don't want it, you know.
If you don't want it. Oh, no.
Yeah. That actually happened to me. And I don't recall, like, it was that awkward, what do I do? So I'm like, we just fist bump because, you know.
So Play By Your Podcast is a big handshaker. So it's been tough lately. I'm not sure who that is. It's chiming in as Play It By Your Podcast. Maybe it's Todd. I don't know.
Oh, as I say, we're both here. I'm a little freaked out.
Did someone hack us?
Somebody hacked us or one of our multiple personalities. I'm trying to think of a...
Okay, I'll let you think some more. I have another one.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I have several.
Okay, go for it, man.
So we're coming up on the holidays and the whole mistletoe custom. And this one may fall prey to the old COVID too. You know, you go under the mistletoe and I don't know. Honestly, I have never been the recipient nor the giver of a kiss of someone who was not expecting a kiss from me just because I was standing under mistletoe.
There is consent before that.
There was mistletoe consent. Prior to any delivery of kisses.
One of the funniest things I ever heard is like, if I tried to kiss a strange girl under the mistletoe, I'm pretty sure I would end up missing a toe because they would get stamped on. But yeah, that one's gonna, yeah. Once again, shaking hands, mistletoe, that's definitely gonna fall, you know.
And Play It By Your Todd Cat. Todd.
Not he sure changed identities on us.
Josh likes handshaking, which I don't mind handshaking.
Yeah.
Kyle has a solution. Let's bring back curtsy.
or the you know, the more Asian-centric, you know, the bow, you know.
Yes. Now, what was it? Women curtsied. I mean, men... Yes. It was just a bow, right? I mean,
yeah, women would bend their knees slightly and tussle their dress, and men would bend at the waist without bending their knees.
Okay, Jim has one. Coloring eggs at Easter.
Satanic paganism. No, I think it's kind of like decorating a tree. You just decorate the egg and it's fun. I'm going to go with that. Somebody could probably tell me I'm only partially kidding about it because most, you know, our Christian holidays have some pagan origins because when it was spreading, they didn't want to upset the locals too much. So they incorporated it. I bet egg coloring falls into that.
Indeed. Do you have one? Because I can go on.
Go on one more.
Okay. I guess you can interchange these or whatever, but ties and or suit jackets.
Oh, ties. I've wondered for years is ornamentation. I mean, a tie, you could say that it sets off the color of your shirt and jacket, you know, it just adds a little bit of color, you know,
I think the original purpose was to hide your buttons. That's what I had heard.
I've never thought about that, but that was wrong with buttons. Why are we hiding them? I guess they weren't as sightly back then.
I don't know.
It's sort of like the need for cufflinks. I don't think I've ever worn a cufflink except for pram.
Indeed. You must have worn one at your wedding.
I think so.
Or my wedding. I mean, we had tuxedos, you know.
How about as far as, geez, Louise,
here's an answer to the eggs there. Howard says started as a way to acknowledge the new life of colors and colors of spring, which
makes sense. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. A custom, okay. Since this is kind of a hot button issue, when did plague the national anthem before like sporting events, did that start during you know, World War One or World War Two and just carry on. That had, and I'm not saying it's outdated, don't get me wrong, but I've just kind of wondered, you know, where that kind of started.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I have heard in regard to the NFL, it had to do with the military paying for that to be done, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
Jim says his tie is to catch the food he drops at lunch so you don't ruin your shirt.
That is true. That is true.
I concur. So Mrs. Wilson says buttons on the sleeves started on uniforms to stop the men from wiping their nose on their sleeves. Interesting. Is that true, or are you giving us a line there? I'd not heard that one.
I've not heard that either.
I'd certainly give her the benefit of the doubt. I mean, certainly. All right. We are in professional situations in education where we have kind of set hours where students are there. But I mean, obviously we do work outside of that. But for the average, quote unquote, American worker, the 9-to-5 workday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are there situations now? What percentage of the workforce actually works 9-to-5 or an 8-hour workday anymore?
I'm sure it happens. I mean, some of them's like, you know, with the rules of 40 hours a week gets into benefits, you know, like there's probably some playing around with the length of the workday to keep people either over or under that.
Yes.
So.
Okay. So how about, and I'm just keeping going here. You stop me if you have one, but saying bless you after someone sneezes.
I do know where that came from.
Well, I know where it came from. I mean,
yeah, it's just custom and tradition.
The bodies of people who sneezed.
Yeah.
Well, I got to read this response. I'm looking at this Reddit.
But what?
This guy says, burp, excuse me. Fart, excuse me. Sneeze where stuff actually comes out. It can get people sick. Bless you.
Like, I did make a joke one time. This kid kept on sneezing in class. I was like, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. So one more time, I'm going to condemn you. But anyway, yeah, that was a great point. Yeah. Hey, I've got one. Summer vacation.
Indeed.
Like school break in the summer.
Right.
We know that was done for agricultural purposes, so the farm youths could work.
Indeed. So back to the 40-hour work week or whatever, the 9-to-5, Kyle says he's working 11-to-9 today, so you're listening to it while at work. That's very good.
Yeah.
And Howard says, nowadays, when people sneeze, we all run. That's very true.
That is true. That is true.
Or you give them a sideways glance and kind of step away.
Make sure they don't have the epizootic.
So answering the phone by saying hello. I'm just passing along what this person said on Reddit.
I do know in Mexico, my friend that was from Mexico, when they answer the phone, they say bueno, which means good.
Right.
And hello makes sense. Yeah. I just assume be hola, but it's bueno.
Correct.
And yeah, perplexed.
Okay. Women taking their husband's last name. Saved by the bell.
Zach Morris just walked into the room.
Okay, so speaking as a, and I learned this years ago when I took a sociology class. We are a patronistic society, so
patriarchal.
Patriarchal, yes, yeah, right, what you said. So we track our our families through the male population. Now, there are societies in the world today, even, that are matriarchal, and they kind of do it the opposite of what we do with all that. But Howard says it's tied to inheritance, which also, again, goes back to the dowry thing.
Yeah.
Todd, why do old people always answer the phone yellow? It's a good question.
Because the bell scared them, and that's what color they turned.
So Jim says, when did parents stop believing the teacher and believe everything their child says?
I feel your pain on that one.
Kyle, we certainly do not mean to attack you. We don't know how we're attacking you. That we said you're listening to us at work. We're appreciative of that. All right. Anything else before we move on?
I cannot think of anything. Maybe one silly one, but why do baseball managers wear uniforms?
Well, and I can tell you,
we don't see Zach Taylor suiting up with a helmet.
Correct. And I can tell you, as a longtime high school baseball coach, I did not appreciate having to wear that uniform. I hated it. It did not do me any justice there at all. I would much rather wore a pair of sweatpants or something, but anyway. Yeah, so Brady and Eric plead the fifth on the parent thing. That's true. That's true, Howard. All right. Is that it? Are we moving
that
on?
Is it. What is that strange sound?
I'm opening things here for our third topic, because I think we have enough input here to go with this. Now, we said at the beginning of the show that the third topic, since Todd is under the weather, although he is chiming in from afar, this third topic is going to be a to-be-announced topic, and we were kind of gauging as to where the audience participation was before we went ahead with this, but I've decided to go ahead with it, so we're going to try this. You know, if you watched us, you have seen us kind of play games amongst ourselves. Now we're down to two people, and again, my desire to be a game show host still burns deeply in my soul. So we will play a game, but we will invite the audience burning. To play as well.
Burning.
Hey.
Hey, something is burning around here.
Another Tom and Jerry. Thank you. Yeah, a couple different things about comments about our previous topic there. That is a holdover from the old player coach days. That's true in baseball. So a lot of times the managers are also players. Todd said, I think it looks odd that hockey coaches wear suits. Well, true. Tom Landry wore a suit as a football coach for a lot of years.
Yeah.
So
I want to see
basketball coaches wore suits.
I want to see Mike McCarthy and Romeo Crennel like put on the pads and the helmet, run out on the field.
Indeed. All right. So our game here is called Guesstimation. So very simply, I'm going to read a, I don't know if you call it a situation or a statement that is attached to a number. And I'm going to allow everyone to guess. And we're just, I don't know that we'll keep score here. I'm just, again, looking for a little audience participation and
participation.
Participation. Thank you, Mike Tyson. All right. So I will, we'll do the first one here kind of as an example as I read it. All right. In 2005, a woman from California sued Wendy's after she found a severed finger in her chili. I believe I remember that. Turned out to
still
be
a celery in it. I'm teasing. Yeah.
All right. Turned out to be a hoax. She was charged with attempted grand larceny. How long was her jail sentence?
Ooh.
So here is where, again, that's tied to a number of years. And I'll give you that years. And we'll just let everyone guess. We'll give it about 10 seconds for everyone to guess. And I'll call final answers, and then we'll see who's closest. So, Brady, what's your guess?
there's two things that come to my mind. Was this her first offense at any kind of chicanery and malfeasance? But I'm going to say less than a year. I'm going to say 6 months.
Okay, 6 months. Okay, some of the other guesses we have. Mrs. Wilson says 5. Howard says 3 to 5. Josh says 7.
Ooh.
Gary's Troutman says 3. Kyle King says not sure, but I'm guessing. Not much. Yes, in the single digits.
We love our audience.
And Todd says, I sued Wendy's for finding celery in his chili. That was an ongoing conversation amongst us as to the ingredients of Wendy's chili. Jim says, 2 years served 30 days. And any other answers from the audience? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Her sentence was 9 years.
Holy crapola. Wendy must have been mad.
Grand larceny. And it was a California court. So never know what's going to go on in California.
No, I didn't see that one coming at all. Because, like, I mean, that almost seems that's going to be more in the civil suit where Wendy's could sue for, you know, slander, you know, right. defamation, right. But criminal law, like, that surprises me.
Yes, Kyle, you were right. All right. Next. In a group of 75 people, now this is very intriguing. What is the likelihood in percentages that at least 2 people in the 75 share the same birthday? Brady?
Is my answer supposed to be in percent?
Yes, percentage. So again, in a group of 75 people, what is the likelihood that at least 2 people share the same birthday?
2% chance.
2% chance. Okay, audience. Josh says 10%.
When Jim
Aaron says 95%. So, I mean, we're getting all across the board here. Howard says 3%. Amber, way from the land of the rising sun, says 10%.
Happy Veterans Day to Amber. Yes,
Amber is a current soldier in the United States. Which branch?
Sailor.
Navy.
She's in the Navy. In the Navy.
Okay, Kyle says 0.035. Is that 3.5% or is that 0.035%?
I think he's saying 0.035. He seems to have a very specific.
Okay, Gary says 25%. Kelly says 5%. So we'll call the answers from the audience closed. Jim Heron, closest, 99% chance that in a group of 75 people, at least 2 share the same birthday, which I just find amazing. Are you a statistician?
No. But I'm indignant. I don't think that could. No. I just don't buy it.
Well, okay. All right. So the next one. You look like you were going to say something. Are you done complaining about that answer?
Well, here's, and I've got a little bit of something to go on with this.
Yes,
this
Jim, year, math teachers. Yes.
I have 77 students, and it just so happens that I have 2 students that share my birthday, but they're twins. So I was thinking,
so are you counting yourself in that group of people?
Well, no, I guess
so. That's
not.
3 people in
that's
in
3
the group
people.
There.
Okay. But you can see where I got that number from.
So you have been debunked. You debunked yourself.
Well, no, because they're twins. That doesn't count. They don't count as a whole person.
But you are not a twin. Thank goodness.
So twins and me.
Twins and you. That's 3 people.
No, but they count as 1. My rules. Well,
tell them that.
I'll have to tell them that tomorrow. Hopefully their parents aren't watching.
All right, next one. I know we have a lot of movie fans in our group here of 16 and currently in our room. How many people were killed by the shark in the 1975 film Jaws? How many people were killed by the shark in the 1975 film Jaws?
Six?
Brady's answer is six.
It's been a while.
Okay, audience, I know we're a little in arrears here. Kyle says one. Kyle's younger. 1975 was a little before his time. Maybe he's seen it. Josh says three. It's almost before my time. Jim says three. Howard says five. Todd says three. Kyle says zero. I think the effectiveness of the movie would have been greatly decreased if zero people were killed by the shark. Mrs. Wilson says five. Okay, audience members, the answer is five.
I was close.
So I'm sure the two to answer, Howard and Mrs. Wilson, are very big movie fans. Probably have seen that movie several times. I've actually never watched Jaws.
Really?
So Kelly also answered five. She was correct. Amber said four. She's a 20. She's in the person. Navy.
She probably knows this. They probably get this in their training.
Yeah. They have to watch Jaws as part of their training. Okay. Next question. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, what percentage of Americans suffer from glossophobia, a fear of speaking in public?
Ooh, that's going to be a big number. Now, do we talk discomfort or out and out? Like, like, you know what? I would say
70%. 70%. Okay. Again, audience, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, what percentage of Americans suffer from glossophobia, a fear of speaking in public? Josh says 85. Mrs. Wilson says 99, and we'll throw Todd's response in here as a theory that the head they found was not a victim of the shark, which very well could be. Jim says 75. Howard says 97. Dave says 85. Welcome, Mr. Furman. Cynthia Schaus, 50%. Kyle says 99%. Kelly says 85%. Amber, 82%. And Todd completes his thought there on the head. Instead, he was murdered by another fisherman to induce more panic and drive up the bounty for killing the shark. Interesting fan theory there.
Chum the water, if you will.
Yes, 100% of students in class giving speeches. That's correct, Jim. People are more afraid of speaking in public than death. I've actually heard that. That's true. All right. All answers locked. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, at what percentage of Americans suffer from glossophobia, a fear of speaking in public? The answer is 74%.
Close.
You were very close.
That was very close.
All right. Next question. James Doohan, who is best known for his role as Scotty on the original Star Trek series.
Jim.
How old was the actor when his seventh child was born?
This might be the most random question ever.
Yeah. So well, what do you think?
They're trying to lead us someplace. He must have been beaming him up late in life. I'm going to say... I'm going to... I can't say that. I don't want to. Oh, this is taking willpower. I'm going to say 72.
72. Josh Michael says he's never seen Star anything, and I'm with you there, brother.
What?
Star Trek or Star Wars. As the case may be. So you said how old?
I think I said 72.
72. Todd says 83. Howard Williams says 73 years young. Miss Wilson says 70. And Kyle says 27. I'm a little older than 27, maybe. All right.
He can't push it any farther, Jim.
Jim says 65 and a little blue pill. Yeah, probably so.
But Scotty wore the red shirt, not the blue one.
Jim, I'm an engineer, not a bleeding miracle worker. Thank you, Howard.
If Joel Cartwright is watching, it's because of the dilithium crystal holder.
Yeah. Gary Troutman says 56, so we will lock the answers from the audience. James Doohan is best known for his role as Scotty on the original Star Trek series. How old was the actor when his seventh child was born? I don't know if he has eight or not, or more than seven, but 80.
Oh! So
I'm guessing maybe a little blue pill was indeed involved in this little procreative act, but 80 years old.
Man.
So good for Mr. Doohan.
Wow. Engineering indeed.
All right. Next question. According to the Centers for Disease Control, how long does it take for food to travel from a person's mouth to their stomach? According to the Centers for Disease Control, how long does it take for food to travel from a person's mouth to their stomach?
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
That's the Oreo that I ate without washing it down with water, and it felt like 5 hours because I could feel it all the way down.
Brady says 2 minutes. So we'll wait a moment here for audience response.
It would also depend on, like,
Howard says 7 minutes.
The Josh power of somebody's minutes. Peristalsis.
Which, for those of us who don't know what that is, what is that?
The constricting the constricting of your esophagus to get it down, you know.
Amber says 3 minutes.
Contracting was the word I was looking for.
Miss Wilson says 2. Is that 2 seconds or 2 minutes? Kyle says 90 seconds. Todd says 3 minutes and 18 seconds. Very specific there. Jim Heron says 45 seconds. So we'll wait a few more seconds for, depends on if you're going swimming after dinner. That's true, Howard.
That's true. One of the most painful events of my life, like uncomfortable, I'd read in my weekly reader, you know, those things that we would get, those little handout things, said that, you know, your esophageal muscles are strong enough that if you stood on your head and ate, it would still push it toward your stomach, even though it was going against gravity. And I picked an Oreo to do that, and it was a miserable experience. I felt like it was plowing my esophagus all the way down, you know.
Why'd you pick an Oreo?
It happened to be there. I was an excited, you know, experiment. You know, I was like, oh, I'm going to try this as soon as I get home. There's an Oreo.
All right. So the question, according to the Centers for Disease Control, how long does it take for food to travel from a person's mouth to their stomach? Now, Brady, I know in our various conversations about digestion over the years, you have prided yourself on your efficiency of digestion and your digestive tract.
Yes.
If it's taking 2 minutes for the food to get from your mouth to your stomach, I don't know how efficient your particular digestive tract is, because for the average person, it takes 7 seconds for the food.
Gosh, that's shorter than bull riding.
If you do the bull riding for 7 seconds, you've won, right? That's the way that works.
8 seconds, I think.
Oh, you're right. It is 8 seconds. There was a movie called that, right? 8 seconds?
Yeah. It's about a slow digester. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Now, this is interesting. I didn't know this. Okay. At sea level, water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit, 100 degrees Celsius. At what temperature would water boil at the top of Mount Everest?
I forget why I know this, but it's actually on some kind of food product where, like, at higher altitudes may take longer. So, or is it shorter? I can't remember. I'm going to go with longer. It's going to have to be hotter to get the job done. So I'm going to say 30 or wait a minute. Are we talking about boiling or cooking, right?
At sea level, water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit, 100 degrees Celsius.
215.
215. All right. So Josh says 150. Waiting for other answers. And again, I'm going to say I didn't know. I knew there was some difference, but this is going to be very intriguing when you hear it. So at sea level, water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. At what temperature would water boil at the top of Mount Everest? We only have one. Okay. Jim says 200. Again, Josh said 150.
I think I'm going the wrong direction.
Todd also says 200.
I remember seeing it on a package.
Kyle says 45 and altitude affects OT. Kyle says 100. Now, I guess I should ask if your numbers that you're giving me are Celsius or Fahrenheit.
This is American, darn it.
So I was going to say, I'm assuming Fahrenheit. 275, according to Howard William. And we'll wait a few more seconds for other answers. Gary says 212. He says the same temperature. Amber says 120. Josh says Fahrenheit was his answer, 150. All right, so again, at sea level, water boils at 212 Fahrenheit, 100 degrees Celsius. What temperature would boil water at the top of Mount Everest? 156 degrees Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit.
69 degrees Celsius.
So that packaging probably said may take less time at higher altitudes. Indeed. And don't burn it. So,
correct.
I just remember seeing it on the packaging.
All right, next question. What percentage of DNA does man have in common with a banana? I could tell by the look on your face where your mind went there.
I'm afraid my answer won't be very appealing. I'm going to say 40.
40. Okay. So wait a few seconds for the audience here. What percentage of DNA does man have in common with a banana? Brady says 40. Kyle says 70. And Howard says, oh, no, too easy. That's kind of what we thought, too. Yes. I guess that percentage would depend from person to person, right?
Yeah. Seems like we have a split vote here.
Todd says in the morning, ? Josh says 50. Jim says 25. Mrs. Wilson says 10. All right, we'll wait a few more seconds for some other answers. What percentage of DNA do man and a banana have in common?
A manana.
Manana. Manana. All right, so the answer to the question is 50. 50%.
50. I was in the ballpark.
Yeah, you were in the ballpark. Okay, Gary says, no idea, but the longer time cooking at higher altitude made sense due to lower boiling point. So, yeah, so back to our previous question. That's true. Very true.
Yes, may take long. I was, yeah.
All right. Now, our alarm's going to go off here, but we're going to do one more.
One more.
Okay. Because this is a good one to end on. How many times does the I don't know how you get the average person out of this, but how many times does the average person, and I don't know how to qualify this, so I'll just read the question, then we'll try to qualify, but how many times does the average person pass gas in 1 year? Now, I don't know in what method that would be. Or
what orifice.
Indeed. So, again, just looking for a number, you know, just how many times per year does the average person pass gas? Now, my wife is downstairs thinking he must be above average.
Pre-gallbladder or post-gallbladder surgery?
Yes, Todd, your answer, your question goes with multiple questions here in the morning. Yeah, well, I guess it's all inclusive.
I thought the whole in the morning thing was a myth until I traveled with you fellows. They should call it morning with report. Let's see. I mean, there's 365 days in a year. If somebody drinks two sodas a day, they're going to belch.
So you are qualifying passing gas as either orifice.
Either orifice. There's only two possibilities. So,
and no, I wasn't passing gas there. I was opening my water. So go ahead.
Good gosh. I'm going to... There's probably has to be some kind of expulsion. If we just go three times a day, I'm going to say 1,800.
1,800. Okay. Josh first said 6,000. But then I guess he did some more math and said 7,300, 20 times 365. So I guess 7,300 would be his final answer. Howard says, depends on who you ask, the husband or the wife. And that's true.
Women?
Kyle?
Zero.
Says 30,000. So he's like passing gas 1,000 times a day.
He's eating a lot of gas station burritos.
Todd says 1 million.
Million.
Mrs. Wilson says 10,000. And yes, the age-old question, is it better to burp and taste it or fart and waste it? I don't know. I guess it depends on what you're burping. I really can't say. Give a few more seconds here. Opening my water, I'm stealing that excuse. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's water that has fizz in it. So, yes, I was opening my water, and that's what that sound was.
Eric, check your phone.
Because I will gladly, I will gladly accept any emanations that come from me, and I will gladly claim them. Jim Heron says 10,000. Howard says 16,000. Kyle says, "Yes, you did screw up your math tremendously. If you're say you." Going like 1,000 times a day. Gary says 2, 3, 4, 6. There must have been some math involved as well there.
With a number that specific, it seems like your body would have rolled. It's like, it's 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait a minute. Done.
Yeah. Yes, Jim, that is the qualifying question. Through the chimney or the sewer pipe? Well, yeah, it doesn't really say, you know. Average... Kyle King says average man 2,000, average woman 0. That's what they would like you to think. Let's just put it that way. Todd said my dad would need this question restated to stepping on a duck. Well, yeah, I guess you put it any way you like it. Not even a little bit of math. So Gary just kind of pulled a random key approach number out of the air. The question is, how many times does the average person pass gas in 1 year? the answer.
Or you can call him a man.
Here, here, here. 5,110. Now, I don't know. I got to do. I should have been doing this on my calculator as people were guessing. I need figure out where that lands. 14 times a day, someone is passing gas on average. Again, the old chimney or sewer pipe question. I don't know. Maybe it's both. I couldn't really say.
Hey, Eric, did you check your text messages?
I did.
Okay.
Miss Wilson asked, are you related to a person who has you pull their finger? Well, it's been several years. But
man, for that many times a day, they're pulling all the digits.
Todd says that number is not a man. I would agree with that. I think that's kind of low myself. But again, when you're taking averages, I guess you're averaging. Do females actually do that less than males?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are they more efficient, digestively speaking, than we
after
are?
After indulging in the Indian buffet or
Becky would say I am as well, Kelly. An overachiever indeed. Todd says, I've never heard the chimney route called passing gas. And I well.
Maybe it's failing gas.
Oh, and we debated Goofy versus Pluto at the beginning of this show. Now we're debating what exactly passing gas is. I mean, it's been a great show, really. When you can
we've
say
talked
that,
about casticles.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. All right. Thank you all for your input. That was fun. You know, we like playing games, and certainly having you all involved in the game was a nice angle to all this, and we do once again appreciate it. With that, again, we'll do the housekeeping duties as we close out. Find us on anchor.fm/playbyyourpodcast. That's our audio version. Also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and the iHeartRadio app, and most anywhere you find your podcasts. On video, you can find us on YouTube. Search Play By Your Podcast there. Follow our channel. You can get notifications when we put new stuff up there.
Eric, how freaked out would you be when I'm doing this and my finger pops up into your screen one day? Like,
that would be outstanding. Social media, Facebook. Most of you are watching us on Facebook, so you know we have a Facebook page. Actually, some people may be watching it on my personal page, but if you're watching on my personal page, please go to our Facebook page. Search out Play It By Your Podcast. Like our page over there.
Leave us reviews on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely. Say nice things about us.
Well, or I guess say what you want to say about us, but we prefer nice things. We hope you all hung around, so you must like what we do. So certainly leave us reviews there. Also, Twitter. Some of you may be watching there. We are broadcasting to Twitter via the Periscope app. You can find us there at Play By Ear Pod 2. Instagram at Play By Ear Podcast with underscores between all the words. Interact with us via email, playbyyourpodcast2020@gmail.com. You can also leave a voice message. Click the link at your various podcast providers. And once again, our little hat in hand spiel. If you want to support what we do financially, go to anchor.fm/playitbyyourpodcast/support. And we appreciate anything that you might feel free to
contribute.
Yes. All right. I do want to say, I think it was mentioned in passing, here it is Veterans Day. We do thank all of our veterans for their service. And you certainly are much better people than I am, because I certainly did not serve in that way. And I think it takes a special person to do that. So thank you all very much. But we do remember our veterans today. I also will say, and I'm going to move my microphone here because I've taken to wearing different shirts when we do these things. You must never forget the golden age of entertainment technology, which included floppy disks, VCR tapes, and cassette tapes. So
very cool.
Yes. All right. Anything else for the good of the order, Brady?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. Once again, a special happy Veterans Day to Amber and Matt all the way over there in Okinawa, Japan.
Indeed.
So,
yes, you're good for our analytics from around the world. You help us on that Japanese listening percentage. So thank you for that.
We're multinational. We've been listened to in Africa, in Japan. This is great.
It is. All right. Look for episode number 36 here next week. Join us here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we'll hopefully bring some good content to you. This episode will drop on the audio side on Friday morning. So if you want to listen to the audio feed of that, you can get that on Friday morning. So thank you very much. In honor of Todd, Brady, would you like to do it?
Peace.
You.
Thanks for listening to the Play It By Ear podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter at Play It By Ear Pod 2, and our website at anchor.fm/Play It By Ear podcast. Thanks again, and join us next time as we play it by ear.